So this year, we're delighted to use a story to talk about our Heart Check ministry. And I think I've said this before, and you probably heard me say it more than once, right? I love being a part of a church that has our love for God and our love for Jesus spill over through our outreach ministries. Right here in our local communities, in our area, think about People Against the Trafficking of Humans, which is in downtown Buffalo, and that you, through Heart Check, are part of. Through our nation, we think of 8 Days of Hope, one of the groups that we partner with that are especially wonderful at responding to different emergencies, rescue operations after big storms and natural disasters. But I'm also grateful that the love that we have for Jesus carries beyond our own culture, right? To places like Lebanon. We heard about that last week. The pastor sat down with Maher last week on Monday for breakfast and heard more about the area that they minister in is so such a challenging environment. So many of the brightest and best of Lebanon have, after years and years and years of war, have left. And also, in the meantime, there are refugees from Syria and other places that have come to Lebanon hoping for some kind of safety, truly, physical safety. There are bombings in that neighborhood every day. What a challenging environment, but what an opportunity to share the love of Christ to especially young people. It's Youth for Christ Lebanon that he works with, especially to inject hope through Christ in the lives of these teenagers who have very little hope when it comes to their circumstances. So I'm grateful that we can partner with them. So we're going to continue our study using the story of Nehemiah as a way for us to think about our Heart Check ministries and about life itself. Nehemiah, as you may know, takes place after the exile around 400 BC. So it's really ancient history. But I think there will be things in today's story that you can identify with. I believe that any significant endeavor will face obstacles. What do you think? Whether you're trying to build a business or a family or your own life, you will face obstacles. I wonder what obstacles you have faced. A lack of resources or experience, criticism or doubt. Things changing too quickly or not quickly enough. It might comfort all of us to see that Jesus himself faced many obstacles, right, during his ministry. A lack of support from his own family and friends. Powerful leaders trying to silence or kill him. And there's a whole level of spiritual opposition that faced Christ that we know very little about. It'd be interesting to sit down with our Heart Check partners and hear about the obstacles that they have faced or are facing. And as we continue our study today of Nehemiah, we come to chapters 4 and 5. And not surprisingly, Nehemiah and his crew faced opposition as they tried to repair the wall of Jerusalem. Opposition from without and opposition from within. Well, I want to see how they overcame their obstacles. And maybe we can learn something. Maybe we can find out how we can overcome our obstacles. So let's begin with obstacles from without, facing our critics. Now, when Jerusalem fell to the Babylonians, the Gentiles who lived in the area rejoiced. They were oh so happy to fill the leadership vacuum. And two of these men, Sanballat and Tobiah, we heard a little bit about them last week, two of them are not thrilled to see the Jews trying to rebuild the wall of Jerusalem. I'm reading from Nehemiah chapter 4, starting in verse 1. You can either use your Bibles in front of you, or if you have your phone, you can just type in Nehemiah chapter 4. I'll be using the NIV translation. When Sanballat heard that they were rebuilding the wall, he became greatly angry and greatly incensed. He ridiculed the Jews, and in the presence of his associates in the army of Samaria, he said, "What are those feeble Jews doing? Will they restore their wall? Will they offer sacrifices? Will they finish in a day? Can they bring the stones back to life from those heaps of rubble, burned as they are?" And Tobiah the Ammonite, who might be the original sidekick, who was at his side, said, "What they are building, even a fox climbing up on it would break down their wall of stones." So I wonder how many of us felt the sting of someone's ridicule, especially when starting something new and doing something different. That's the tactic here. Who do you think you are? Later on, they try to intimidate and threaten Nehemiah and his band of faithful followers. Depend on it. If you attempt something great or do something out of the ordinary, you will face ridicule. That's about enough time with the critics, right? I have no time for them. Neither did Nehemiah. Let's see how he responds. And I love his initial instinct. Nehemiah is a man of action, but his first action is prayer. Prayer. We see it in verse 4. "Hear us, our God, for we are despised. Turn their insults back on their own heads. Give them over as plunder in a land of captivity. Do not cover up their guilt or blot out their sins from your sight, for they have thrown insults in the face of the builders." When faced with opposition, pray. That's good advice, isn't it? Not always our first instinct, but it's great advice. When facing obstacles, criticism from others, the first thing we should do is to pray. Is this an honest prayer? Like, this is not going to be in any children's Sunday school book on prayer. This isn't pretty. And we can hear anger in Nehemiah's prayer. The opposition is a real threat, and he realizes that depending on God is essential for overcoming obstacles. Here's another thing. Keep at it. We see in verse 6 that they keep at their rebuilding. They don't let criticism stop them. "So we rebuilt the wall till all of it reached half its height." Sometimes the best course of action when being criticized or ridiculed is to keep at it, to keep doing good work for Jesus and those we love. Filmmaker and actor Woody Allen says that 80% of success is just showing up. I've often thought about that. In almost 40 years of pastoral ministry, there have been some really discouraging times. And I just kept showing up, right? Keep showing up, keep at it. Later, Nehemiah says to those who are trying to distract him and the others, "I'm carrying on a great project and cannot go down and talk to these men." God gives us important work to do. We're not going to allow ourselves to stop. Keep at it. And finally this, band together. The critics didn't give up. They shifted their tactics. They threatened bodily harm. So chapter 4, verse 7. "But when Sanballat, Tobiah, and the Arabs, the Ammonites, and the people of Ashdod heard that the repairs to Jerusalem's walls had gone ahead and that the gaps were being closed, they were very angry. They all plotted together to come and fight against Jerusalem and stir up trouble against it. But we prayed to our God and posted a guard day and night to meet this threat." Good leader that he is, Nehemiah doesn't ignore the threat. He prays, then he addresses the problem. He brings his people together for their strength and unity, band together. Verse 19. "Then I said to the nobles, the officials, and the rest of the people, the work is extensive and spread out, and we are widely separated from each other along the wall. Wherever you hear the sound of the trumpet, join us there, and our God will fight for us. We will rally together when attacked." There's strength in unity. And that's what we do with our partner ministries also. They go through a lot of very stressful experiences we can only imagine. But we are partnering with them. We are praying with and for them. We rally together. When facing obstacles from without, pray. Keep at it. Band together. Whatever wall you are trying to build, a healthy family, a business, a ministry, or just trying to live a healthy, God-pleasing life, you will face obstacles. Don't be surprised. Expect it. Pray. Keep at it. Band together. One of our partner ministries, Jericho Road, has a lot of different, it's a very extensive ministry, both here in Buffalo and around the world. One of the areas that we partner with is in Congo, which is in Eastern Africa. And if you know anything about Congo these days, it's a very dangerous place. It's a very dangerous place to have a ministry, to have a medical clinic, and have schools. And it's a ministry that we, through Heart Check, partner with. So we have a little video that gives us a little taste of what's going on there.
My name is Chantal Mando. I am the Wellness Clinic Director, and I thank all our donors for helping us help our population in DRC Congo, and especially in Goma. And every month we have more than 200 delivery of baby, and we have less space and building to take care for this woman, and our workers are very tired. We need more workers in our maternity service. And we have also the free recovery primary school to help the children that was not going to school to have education. And now these children are finishing the primary school. We need to have the high school to give them the good education. And we have also the empowering center for women, and for women who are learning tailoring and basketry, and to empower the capacity to have the work and the money to help the children. And we need more space and equipment to educate these women. And we have also a malnutrition center. Every month we receive more than 100 malnourished children, and we need to have less funds to take care and give them the good food. We need more money and space and the dining place for these children. Thank you.
In fact, English might be her second language, but she did very well. I had a chance to spend a month in Malawi in East Africa several years ago, and was really stunned by the average family lives on about $1,000 a year, and the corn that they raise, and their homes, none of them have running water or electricity, and their medical care is, it just, all that to say, it's so gratifying to have a small part in a wellness clinic, in a school, in an empowerment center like this. It makes such a difference in such a difficult part of the world to minister in. So we are partnering together with them to help them overcome their obstacles. And you say, well, does my gift make a difference? What do you think? Does it? Every gift makes a difference. And you say, well, my gift isn't that significant. While it might be to them, and it enables us to do some really wonderful things. Okay, let's talk about obstacles from within. Obstacles from within, because sometimes it's the criticism or lack of support from within our own team, our own family, our own friends that hurts the most. And sometimes, if we're honest, we wrestle with our own thoughts and insecurities as obstacles. In Nehemiah's situation, he had to overcome the attacks of his enemies. But then he faced several issues from within his own group. So now we're in Nehemiah chapter 5, starting in verse 1. Let's see what he was dealing with. Now the men and their wives raised a great outcry against their fellow Jews. Some were saying, "We and our sons and daughters are numerous. In order for us to eat and stay alive, we must get grain." Right? No savings account, no credit cards, no Tops, Wegmans, or Aldi. These are farm families, and if they can't work on their farms, they have nothing to eat, right? And the kids are hungry. Verse 3. Others were saying, "We are mortgaging our fields, our vineyards, and our homes to get grain during this famine." So as it turns out, this is an arid culture. The grain crop is small, and they're taking out home equity loans, right, to buy food to feed their families. And if that isn't bad enough, those lending the money are taking advantage of the situation by charging high interest on the loans. Verse 4. Still others were saying, we've had to borrow money to pay the king's tax on our fields and vineyards. And although we are the same flesh and blood as our fellow Jews, and though our children are as good as theirs, yet we have to subject our sons and daughters to slavery. Some of our daughters have already been enslaved, but we are powerless because our fields and our vineyards belong to others. So did you get the picture of that? The situation is so dire that when the farmers can't pay their loans or their taxes, they are borrowing money. And when they can't pay back the money, those who lent the money are foreclosing on their farms, are taking their animals, and are even taking their sons and daughters as slaves to pay their bills. And yes, that did happen back then. And the people loaning the money are within the group. They are their countrymen. I can almost hear Nehemiah groan from here. Not only are we under attack from our enemies, but we're ripping each other to pieces. Verse 6 and 7a, when I heard their outcry, Nehemiah writes in these charges, I was very angry. I bet he was. And I pondered them in my mind. What should we do when we face obstacles from within? Here's the first thing Nehemiah shows us. Think before you speak. I pondered them in my mind. Nehemiah, he's a strong, effective leader. He's going to address the issue. But before he does, he takes a moment to think about it. He gathers his thoughts. He's angry, but he doesn't lash out and angry. And when he speaks to those who are taking advantage of their brothers and sisters, who are lending the money at high interest rates, who are foreclosing on the farms, he has a clear mind. Good advice for us, right? Before you have a critical conversation, try to think clearly before you respond. Think before you speak. And then we should be more effective to state the obvious and speak the truth in love. I learned this from one of my supervisors several years ago, and it's applicable in so many situations. State the obvious and speak the truth in love, which is what we see Nehemiah do. I'm going to read chapter 5, starting in verse 6. When I heard their outcry and these charges, I was very angry. I pondered them in my mind and then accused the nobles and officials. I told them, you are charging your own people interest. So I called together a large meeting to deal with them and said, as far as possible, we have bought back our fellow Jews who were sold to the Gentiles. Now you're selling your own people only for them to be sold back to us. And they kept quiet because they could find nothing to say. So I continued, what you're doing is not right. Shouldn't you walk in the fear of our God to avoid the reproach of our Gentile enemies? I and my brothers and my men are also lending the people money and grain, but let us stop charging interest. Give them back immediately their fields, vineyards, olive groves, and houses, and also the interest you're charging them. 1% of the money, grain, new wine, and oil. That's it. That's as much interest as you can charge. We will give it back, they said. And we will not demand anything more from them. We will do as you say. That turned out pretty well, didn't it? It's not the last fierce conversation Nehemiah has with his own people, but he met the challenge. He had no way of knowing how it would turn out, but he was willing to state the obvious and speak the truth in love. When you need to have a fierce conversation with someone on your own team, in your own family, in your own organization, collect your thoughts, state the obvious, use the pronoun we and not you, we have a problem, and then speak the truth in love. Some of you know I'm a fan of history, and I was thinking about an example of this. State the obvious and speak the truth in love. And I thought of Winston Churchill. In the 1930s, he was a lone voice in England He was saying that the Germans are building an army and air force to use it, and nobody wanted to hear it after World War I. But when England finally declared war on Germany, the people of England turned to Churchill for leadership. And here's what he said in the House of Commons. He stated the obvious and spoke the truth in love. I would say to the House, as I have said to those who have joined this government, I have nothing to offer you but blood, toil, tears, and sweat. We have before us an ordeal of the most grievous kind. We have before us many, many long months of struggle and of suffering. You ask, what is our policy? And I will say it is to wage war by sea, land, and air with all our might and with all the strength that God can give us. To wage war against the monstrous tyranny never surpassed in the dark, lamentable catalog of human crime. That's our policy. And you ask, what is our aim? Victory. Victory at all costs. Victory in spite of terror. Victory however long and hard the road may be, for without victory, there is no survival. And that's what good leaders do, right? They state the obvious and speak the truth in love. They display courage and pursue their goal and their dream in the face of obstacles without and within. So whether you are building a ministry or a family, a business or your own life, you will face obstacles from without and within. And I pray that you will persevere. Persevere. I pray that with God's help you will keep at it, that you will face critics on the outside and on the inside, and keep at the good work that God has called you to. Keep at it. Keep at it. Keep building the wall. Keep doing what God wants you to do. Every time we hear the word of God proclaimed, we take a moment to ask ourselves, how am I, not anybody else, how am I going to respond to what I have heard today? What's the application for my life? This is an opportunity for us to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit and to think about how we're going to respond tangibly to this great word of encouragement. So I'm going to give you a minute to do that, and then I'll pray for us. Father, I have a few ideas of the obstacles that we are facing, but many that I don't know about. I don't know how this word of encouragement has affected everybody who is here. Maybe somebody walked in today very encouraged, but I pray that you would lift them up. Maybe somebody is weary, I pray that you would give them strength. Maybe somebody is just on the edge of losing heart, I pray that you would give them fresh heart and courage. Pray that we would fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of God. I pray that we would consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men so that we do not lose heart. Thank you for these words of encouragement, for the work of your Spirit in and through us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.